If you're driving this morning around Sydney and can see cyclists, be aware that laws have changed. Many people in the cycling community are saying that Sydney's already strict laws have gotten a whole lot stricter. Cars must give bikes at least a metre of space, and if they don't, they'll risk a fine of $319. Other changes include increased fines for not wearing a helmet, riding through a red light, and carrying a form of identification. So are these laws a step too far? Professor Chris Rissell from the University of Sydney joins us this morning to tell us if these and what these laws will mean for you. Good morning, Professor. How are you doing?
Yeah, good morning, Mitch. Good.
So what's the reasoning behind bringing these new laws and change to the laws in?
Well, the 1 metre rule is a rule that safety advocates have been pushing for bikes in a number of states, and so they already have that in Victoria and the ACT and in Queensland. So that is a helpful move, although it's hard to enforce it really because, how will you show that a car has actually got, closer to you than 1 metre?
Hard to measure.
Yeah, hard to measure, really, isn't it? And, I mean, it may be useful in case a rider is hit by a car because then clearly they've gone closer than 1 metre, but it'll be a hard rule to enforce, and it'll have to become a normative behaviour that drivers just automatically give more space to bikes.
Mm. What about some other laws like the carrying identification and, increasing the fines not wearing a helmet? What are your views on why these have been brought in?
Yeah, I'm not clear on why we actually need those rules because the police already have sufficient powers and authorities to get identification and from anyone actually, and they're very good at doing that. So it's unclear what that's actually going to do in terms of safety or in fact enforcing fines either. And what it may end up being is that the police will just use those extra laws to harass sort of low income people who might be on a bike, but it's just another avenue to harass people potentially, and there's some concerns in the community around those, and as a barrier to people just hopping on a bike and going cycling to the beach or even down the street without having to have ID on them. I mean, you don't necessarily want, if you're a woman, to take your purse with you. So if you don't have your IDs, that means you can't ride the bike. So there are impediments to cycling that this law creates.
There's some people who say that Sydney and to a lesser extent the New South Wales government kind of have a war on cycling. We've seen some bike lanes attempt to be removed. Kind of what's your thought on that?
Yeah, so I think this is a display of anti-leadership when it comes to getting more people riding bikes and healthier and road traffic benefits from that. And I think the New South Wales government is not really doing much to help more people cycle or create an environment where it's safe to cycle either. So, it's one thing to be punitive about people who do the wrong thing. But if you want people to do the right thing, you have to create the conditions where it's safe and easy to do the right thing and for it to be safe. And ultimately, the rest of the world is trying to get more people cycling because it's healthier and better for society more generally. Mm. And the New South Wales is a bit of an international embarrassment on that front.
Yeah, look, you raise the point of other countries overseas. How does the setup of Sydney and I guess these laws coming today sort of differ from, places like Amsterdam, which is a huge cycling city, and London to a lesser extent as well?
Well, many of these places that are proactive in terms of cycling create rules and regulations that favour cyclists, and so the fines are much higher for cars that either hit cyclists, and the onus is on safety on the driver, so it's their fault in terms of insurance terms if they hit a vulnerable road user like a pedestrian or a bike. And so there are so many more positive attitudes. For example, in France, they've just recently introduced sort of a rolling stop regulation so that bikes don't actually have to physically, full stop, and that it allows for the various sort of momentum where you can do a left turn, for example, on a red light when there's no cars. And this is just acknowledging, that it's safe and easy to do that, whereas here we've just massively increased the fines for going through a red light. And riding on the footpath, for example, I mean, you do that because there's no infrastructure. Basically, if there was a bike path, you'd use it. So instead, people ride on the footpath, that's illegal. So it's really, really discouraging people from taking, some rides because it's just not safe to do it.
There was a bit of an outcry from cycling groups when these laws were first slated. Now they have been brought in. Do you think that's the end of the argument, or can they be reversed or repealed in some way? Do you think that's likely?
Look, I'm not sure if it's likely with the current government, but these are variations in regulations, which means that the government can choose to alter that at any time. So, and that's what, in fact, they've done to increase them. So there, it is within the authority of the existing Road Transport Authority to vary fines or existing regulations without introducing new ones. And so, therefore, they can do that, and they they could therefore reduce it as well.
All right, we'll leave it there. But Professor Chris Ressel, thanks so much for talking to us on 2SER this morning.
Thanks, Mitch. That's great.
Professor Chris Ressel from the University of Sydney talking to us about the new laws which come into effect today. If you are a cyclist, pay attention because there are a few new things you might want to be aware of and increase fines as well. If you're a driver, be aware that you must give cyclists at least a metre of space. Otherwise, you'll cop a $319 fine, which is... not the cheapest thing in the world to do.